As Lee said earlier, today is called Christ the King Sunday. We celebrate it by holding on to our ancient traditions, as well as recognizing the importance of the readings that were selected for today. The focus of the collect, as we all know, is a prayer to collect us all, is focused on God's well-beloved Son, also called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is the last Sunday of our church year. Next Sunday, we'll begin year C of our three-year lectionary cycle. Some of you may not notice that change. Many of you will notice the changes in colors around here. We won't be wearing white or the green of the season after Pentecost. We'll either be wearing the beautiful blue or the coronation fabric. Our focus, in turn, next week will begin to a period of waiting. The focus of the season of Advent is anticipating the birth, the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. This is the last season of the long, the last Sunday of the long green season after Pentecost, and it's a time that we call ordinary time. Some authorities say it's called ordinary time because we count from Sunday to Sunday using the basic ordinals 1, 2, 3, 4, and so forth. So we count time from Sunday to Sunday. And indeed, today, as Lee pointed out, it's proper 29. We've gone through 29 separate sets of readings since the week after Pentecost. The season of ordinary time is to remind us that we live out in ordinary time. We're reminded from this pulpit that we should live out the gospel day by day. We experience our long, slow growth during the season after Pentecost. It's mirrored by the seasons around us, the green season, that goes through its own natural cycles of growth, development, flowering, senescence. Perhaps you find it odd today, as we're coming just before the season of Pentecost, of Advent, that we have the lessons that were given us to read today. You may have noticed that they don't really conclude anything, but they just kind of tease us without coming to an end. It's almost to suggest to you to come back next week for the next episode. Our gospel story from John today comes near the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. At this juncture, Jesus has been arrested, he's been beaten, he's been brought before Annas, the high priest, to be tried. Judas Iscariot has betrayed him with a kiss. Peter, one of his dearest friends, has begun his own personal betrayal of Jesus when he's questioned by a girl at the high priest's house who says, "You are not one of his disciples, are you?" Peter answered, "I am not." With that statement, Peter begins a descent into a very dark, sinful place with two predicted subsequent denials. Peter's ordinary time marks three denials. We can only imagine how Peter must have felt, separated from God's love, and how alone he must have been. At this time, Annas was not the high priest, but he likely carried the title as a courtesy of his former standing. Annas questioned Jesus, seeking evidence against him, and this was against the rules. You're not allowed to question someone to determine their guilt. You don't testify against yourself. So Annas chose not to follow the rules. Afterwards, Jesus was sent to the Roman governor's house. Though the accusers did not enter this house, because to enter the house of a Gentile, they would have been defiled and they wouldn't have been able the purification process to celebrate their Passover meal. Here, when it suited their purpose, the Sanhedrin did follow the rules. Our gospel story today picks up here during the trial. Pontius Pilate was the Roman prefect. He was appointed by the Roman emperor, and he had absolute power in Judea throughout the entire region.
absolute power. Pilate is in Jerusalem within a military installation, within the cantonment. He was in a very protected place. Some scholars suggest that the political atmosphere of Judea must have been such that he felt uncomfortable living at his residence on the Mediterranean coast, that he was buried deep within this military compound and surrounded by them. And he may have been under some official stress to maintain the peace. Obviously, some prior discourse must have taken place with the Sanhedrin, because Pilate asked the leading question, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Declaring oneself a king when you are subject to the Roman Empire is tantamount to treason. For the Roman emperor, who had declared himself God, and a governor who has absolute power, all possibilities of treason must be quashed. Jesus responds to Pilate's question with a question. "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Who gave you the idea that I declared myself king? Pilate counters, "Jesus, your own people sent you to me. Why would they do that? Jesus, what have you done?" Jesus tells Pilate that his kingdom is not of this world, a concept that's difficult to understand as most of the parables I have read. Pilate drills down his last declarative question, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am king." Our appointed story leaves us with Jesus telling Pilate that he was born to be in this situation. He was born to be here. That's why he came into the world as one of us, to testify to the truth. To testify to the truth. The first chapter of John the Baptizer tells us, "And the Word became flesh and lived amongst us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth." Today's gospel story leads us directly to Jesus' death on the cross. In obedience to God the Father, Jesus made that once offered a full and perfect sacrifice for the whole world. It also leads us to the resurrection of Jesus, a fulfillment of his promise of the kingdom that is not of this world. A couple of postscripts here. We know little of what happened to Pontius Pilate after this time in Judea. We have archaeological evidence to prove that he did exist, and his name is associated with Emperor Tiberius, who would have been emperor during this period of time. Two possible thoughts about the remainder of Pilate's life. He may have been killed by the Emperor Caligula or caused to commit suicide. Pilate is also believed by another set of circumstances to have converted to Christianity later in life, and he's been said to have been canonized by the Ethiopian Orthodox Church. I ponder whether he was so affected by his encounter with Jesus that he came to accept the truth of who Jesus is and ask for forgiveness. I'd like to think so. But we really don't know the truth of that. The second postscript is about Simon Peter. John describes a post-resurrection encounter of Jesus and Peter. Jesus asks, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter answers, "Yes, Lord, you know that I do." Jesus says, "Feed my lambs." Jesus asks, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter responds, "Yes, Lord, you know that I do." Jesus says, "Tend my sheep." Jesus asks a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter responds, "Yes, Lord, you know everything. You know that I do." Jesus says, "Feed my sheep."
Peter denied Jesus three times, and three times Jesus asked for an affirmation of his love for him. Peter affirmed that he was indeed a servant to Jesus, his Lord of Lords. John also tells us how deeply Peter was pained by his betrayal of his friend. Yet here, in this very simple way, Jesus turned over his entire flock to Peter. This is a testament to the depth of forgiveness that Jesus offers, and not just to Peter, but to us. And to the peace and the power of reconciliation that we all should see. This also is a charge to us, we the people of the way. Jesus expects our faithfulness. Jesus forgives us when we fall short of keeping up his commandments. And today, on Christ the King Sunday, on this last Sunday of the liturgical year, we are reminded that Pilate knew of Jesus' innocence and condemned him to death anyway. He knew one thing, and he did another. Then we ask ourselves, do we say one thing with our lips and have another buried deep within our heart of hearts? What is your truth? We are ending one church year and beginning another. It's a new beginning for us all. How can we better reconcile ourselves with our neighbors when we are challenged to love as we love ourselves? Can we truly forgive our neighbors 77 times 7 and mean it? More importantly, can we reconcile our professed love for Jesus Christ our King, our Lord of Lords, with our own thoughts, words, and deeds? What is your truth?